Good morning, and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. We bring you greetings from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Taylor Tabernacle, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. Amen. We bless the Lord at all time here. Amen. Amen. If you think it not robbery this morning, give him some glory. Give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. We bless his name. Oh, you can do better than that. He woke you up this morning. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name this morning. We glorify you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord this morning. Amen. 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 We're so happy you decided to join us with all the other churches on the airway. We're so happy you decided to join Taylor this morning. And we hope that you will come and see us in person real soon. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the throne of grace this morning. Most holy and wise Father, we give you glory this morning. We give you honor this morning simply because it is due, Lord. We thank you this morning for who you are in our lives, Lord, that you sit high and you look low, Lord, that you woke us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, Lord, able to say thank you and able to say hallelujah and give you glory this morning, God. We ask you, Lord, to walk through the hospital, through the home of the sick and afflicted this morning, Lord, and touch them with your finger of healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to comfort those, Lord, who are bereaved this morning, who've lost loved ones this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we know you to be a comforter, Lord. You are a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless, Lord, this morning. And we give you glory for that this morning, God. We thank you for all that you are, Lord. We thank you that you are. We thank you, Lord, that you sit beyond time, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we give you honor and glory this morning, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Someone is contemplating suicide this morning, Lord. Lord, we ask you to intervene, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help them to know that you love them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you a special blessing on our speaker this morning, Lord. Help him to bring the word, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your name is glorified, that you're lifted up, Lord, and that your saints, Lord, be restored, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name. We ask you to be with us in this service this morning, Lord. And we bless your holy name. We bless your holy and righteous name this morning, Lord. In the Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I pray. Amen. 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 We're going to ask you to rise to your feet, if you will, this morning. We're going to go to the Word of God. Psalms 25, verses 14 through 18. We're so happy to see all the faces in the place this morning. Bless the Lord. Once again, Psalms 25, verse 14 through 18. Amen. As our pastor, Daryl Scott, says, when we pray, we speak to God, but God speaks to us through his holy word. Amen. Amen. Psalms 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck out my feet of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. This morning I bring you a dynamic young man, one of our young ministers. We are so excited to have him. We don't get to see him or hear him often, but we know he is going to bring the word of God this morning, and we bless the Lord. Hey, everybody, your right hand to the pulpit. God bless. Brother Khalil. God bless. Brother Khalil. One more time. God bless. Brother Khalil. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Come on, this is a day of joy, a day of happiness. We're able to make it into God's house one more time, and that's a blessing in and of itself in today's world. I don't plan on being in front of all of you too long. Can you guys hear me up out there? Yeah? All right, cool. I can't hear myself. That's what I was asking. You got to bear with me. Come on, Tyrone. No, I don't plan on being too long. Yeah, too long at all. I only got about 11 pages, and it's double-spaced, size 16 font, so you know it's real short. I'm just coming from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. I'm going to pray quickly, and then we're going to go ahead and read the entire text, and I'm going to break it down one by one for you, okay? So if you don't mind looking up to heaven with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you, God. We come to you. Just say thank you, God. Thank you for one more opportunity to make it into your grace, God. Thank you for one more opportunity to make it into your sanctuary, God. Thank you for one more opportunity to be able to make it with you, God. Thank you for continuing to walk with us, God. Thank you for continuing to show us grace and mercy even when we fall, God. God, thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're not doing, God, because the things that you don't allow protect us, God. And we thank you for your protection, God, for you are the God of protection. God, I pray that this word speaks to someone today. I pray that if only one part of this speaks to them, God, that one part stays with them the entire week, God, or better yet, the entire life, God. God, I pray that one part is enough for you to go ahead and plant a seed in them and grow and manifest in their life, God. God, I pray all these things in your holy name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So like I told you, we're not going to be here all but too long. I could have told John to keep playing the worship music because that's how short it's going to be, but I'm not. I remember when I got the phone call to preach, and it was from Reverend JC, actually. It was supposed to be the second week of June, and Reverend JC said, hey, can you do me a favor? And I said, well, that depends. And he said, well, can you preach? And I said, no. And he said, well, I need you to preach. And I said, okay, well, I can't say no if you say you need me, so I'll do it. But then, you know, God is always on time. Then he called me the next week and said, hey, we're going to push it back a month. Is that okay with you? And I said, oh, that's a blessing. You can push it back another month if you need to. And so that's how that happened. And, you know, I thank God for MJC and the phone call. It brings me back to the Bible, and it makes me have to read the Word of God and then read it in a different perspective than what we normally read it. My spiritual aunt is in the back there. She knows I don't lie in the pulpit. I want to say I read about one scripture a day, and that's from the Bible app. When it pops up on the top of your screen and it gives you the scripture, that's my verse. That's my verse. No lying up here. That's my verse. And sometimes I miss it, and then I go a day without reading the Bible, and I feel bad. But then it pops up again, and I go, like, oh, amen. I still got it, didn't I? That's all right, though. As long as you get some kind of word in your spirit, I believe God will make everything all right. So the book of Job 1. And if you never read this book, I really, really plead with you to read it, because Job's book, his life is so interesting, and it's so inspirational of just, you know, faith. And I want to take it further and say that Job had something more than faith. Job had divine faith, and that's God-given faith, because Job went through some mess in his life. I mean, from his friends telling him to turn his back on God, from his wife telling him to turn his back on God, to everything that was happening, but yet Job still remained faithful to God. So I don't know what season you're in life, but if you're in the season that I was in a few months ago, Job spoke to me, and Job still speaks to me. So let's go ahead and read this here. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses. A very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered, excuse me, I'm going to get my New King James version here so I'm not getting my behind kicked up here. From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and all around that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking while in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabines raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to thee. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So may God add our blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go ahead and break that down, because that's 22 scriptures that are very deep when you really look at it, okay? So let's go back to Job 1:1-5, okay? And I'm going to reread it again just to kind of refresh your memory. If you're something like me, you know, you only got about 3 minutes and it's gone. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil, and 7 sons and 3 daughters were born unto him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of the feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Job was favored by God beyond what this world has seen, okay? Now, I had to look this up because I don't know how much 5,000 sheep and stuff is worth. We live in 2022, not, you know, 20 BC. I don't know what that is. So I looked it up, and some historians and Bible scholars went and did the math for me. God bless them. Job would have a net worth in today's society of approximately $28 million. Now, you know, God bless them doing that math, but $28 million is nothing to ignore, okay? And I can tell you that for myself, because when the lottery hit $20 million, I surely did put the ticket in, because that's some life-changing money right there, you know? And I even looked at God and said, well, look, I can get 10% is $2 million. I'm sure I have to be happy with $2 million to the church. And I didn't win. So, you know. But Job was prosperous. You know, to me, he was what I would consider filthy rich and simply blessed financially. Job was blessed in his health. If you read it, he's blessed in his finances. He's blessed in terms of his family, right? His land is blessed and his spiritual gifts. God genuinely favored him. Right. And this favor wasn't uncalled for. If you read the text, it says that he feared God and shunned evil. Now, we can take that to mean a lot of things, and you all can go down in prayer and ask God to show that to you. But what I got from that was that, you know, Job had little trouble denying his flesh when it came to sin. That's what I get from that. When it says he shunned evil and feared God, right? This is not to say that Job didn't sin, right? As we know, that is physically impossible. If it was, then this wouldn't have to happen, right? Okay. It just says he put forth a lot of effort to not sin because of his hate for evil and his fear of God. A lot of us don't fear God the way that we really should. And I'm not preaching on that topic, and I only got about 20 minutes, so I'm not going to deep dive into it. The Scots are here, so you know they're going to keep me on track of when I'm need to be finished. You know? But I suggest you all read some of the parables regarding God's wrath, right? Especially the wrath unto the church. But back to my message, Job shunned evil. And, you know, I'm not going to lie in this pulpit, as I never do, or I try my best not to do. There's some evil and sin that I should be shunning. But in reality, if I can be honest with you, church, I'm engaging in. You guys can do with that if you want to. But remember my last sermon, God is married to the backslider and we are all sinners. Some of you may look at me and judge me for still engaging in sin, but let me divert from my sermon for a moment. Anyone who knows me, and I mean truly knows me, knows I love to sit down with people who have the opposite beliefs as me. That is, I love killing time and just hearing people's experiences and why they believe certain things. And, you know, I love it even more when it's a person who used to have the same belief as me. So if I'm talking to somebody and they say, well, you know, I grew up Christian, but I've deviated away from it. I'm no longer Christian. I don't understand it. I don't want to do it. And I always ask them, well, why? What happened? If you don't mind me intruding a bit in your personal life, tell me what's going on. Why did you leave the faith? Because in my mind, I don't know. I just can't leave God. God, anytime I like get the thought and the devil's trying to spring it in my head, my brain be like, bro, you better relax, bro. Because you leave God grace, it's going to be a whole lot of mess. You better stay right where you at. So, but let me tell you a secret. This is something I've gathered from all the people I've talked to. A lot of young people especially have left the church and refused to come back to the church because church folk have forgotten what it's like to be a backslider. They've forgotten what it's like to battle sin still. When I say battle sin, I mean you wake up and you got to go down and pray immediately because you already having those thoughts. I mean, you just got to pay. You like, man, the devil work hard up in these streets. This is crazy. That, look, I don't want to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings, but the church has forgotten the simple fact that they themselves are still sinners. You want to grow the body of Christ, and I mean grow it so that God can be exalted. You got to get off the high horse. You have to. You got to get off the high horse and humble yourself and recognize I'm still a sinner, just like they are. And you have to remember that they're saved by, you know, grace and mercy, the same way we're saved by grace and mercy, right? The same grace and mercy that forgives you is the same grace and mercy that forgives them. Your sin may differ from their sin, so you might be a liar and they're an adulterer, all right? It's two different. You classify it as two different sins, but sin is sin. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you're still committing sin, right? There's only one sin that God said was unforgivable, and that was, what was that, y'all? Blasphemy unto the Holy Spirit, all right? I'm glad I have a church here today. That's what I like to hear. So I also want to just tell you now, it seems like the church has forgotten the greatest commandments. And I'm going to get back to my sermon, but I really want to speak on this because somebody needs to hear this. The greatest commandments, and I'm surprised nobody asked me what's the greatest commandments. Y'all better know it in your hearts. Y'all ain't asked. But I'm going to tell it anyway. Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. This is the one we always mess up on. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Tell somebody, you better ask God to put love in your heart. The church doesn't love its neighbor anymore. Let me get the scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. All right. It goes, love is patient and kind. Lord, I wish somebody was asking help here. You know, love is patient I'm not going to work that. I told you the Scots here, so once they start laughing, I got to go ahead. Love is patient and kind. Does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Tell somebody, be patient with the sinner. Be kind with the neighbor next door who is always asking for sugar. Don't be envious of your neighbor's new job. Don't boast about your new raise. Look up to heaven and say, Lord, help me not to be arrogant or rude. Some of y'all are going to need to say that twice because y'all be rude. All right, let's get back to my main text. I'm with y'all. I'll be rude too. I ain't going to lie to you. My grandmother used to say, you know, Reverend J.C. asked me what's the term of your title, and I didn't have one. It's just so much in here to unpack in so many different sermons. I should have told Reverend J.C. what my grandmom always tells me, take what you need and leave what you don't. Take that with this sermon. If you only needed the first 1 through 5, take it and leave. As long as you leave with something from God's word, I did my job. So let's go on with the text. I'm going to read 6 and 7 for you, okay? Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. You know, we often overlook this part of the text. And this is actually really, this is a really deep 2 sentences, 2 scriptures, right? The Bible says that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. See, y'all ain't even asked me the question again. Y'all must be real saved up in here. I need to stay here. What does it mean to present yourself unto God? That's the first thing that popped in my mind when I read that. What does that mean? I've always heard it. You know, I've always, you know, go to the altar like that. But is there an actual scripture that talks about that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Well, I'm glad I asked myself because y'all ain't talking to me. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Let's break that down. Do your best means to put forth your best self. Yes, we all fall short, and God is not looking for perfection because he already stated it's impossible. Rather, what he is looking for is effort. He's looking for the effort. Sorry. Last week, let me give you a knowledge. Don't laugh at my knowledge. I took some time writing this. Last week, you committed that sin 12 times. This week, you only committed it 9 times. Touch somebody and say, that's growth. Whether you want to recognize it or not, that's growth, especially to somebody who is still battling sin. The fact that it was 3 less times, I can give God some praise on that. All right, watch this. You went from being a drunk every day to every other day, from every other day to twice a week, from twice a week to once a week, from once a week to twice a month. Progress. It's progress, church. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It's progress. It's progress. Thank you. Thank you. Clap some more, Tyrone. Thank you. Y'all gonna make me work. I'm not trying to ruin my good church. He just wants your best effort, not perfection. You don't curse people out at the rate you used to. Listen, to present yourself to God as one approved, Jesus Christ already approved you. As long as you believe in him, the presentation is in your actions. Again, you have shown the effort to change from your wicked ways. Y'all laughed at my analogy of the drunk, but God is happy at their presentation. The church looks at him as someone who is still a drunk, but God looks at him as someone who has accepted Christ and is walking the path of salvation. You'll get that another day, but that's deep right there. Watch this. Understanding that, in reality, this timeline is more spread out than that. See, this drunk went from every day to every other day, right? Sin don't work like, well, I can't talk about y'all. Sin don't work like that for me. All right, I don't wake up, it's every other day. All right, I got to go down in prayer and tarry right there in that prayer. And then I can have some strength to get through the day. But you know, the devil's always working. You know, you think you made it through the day, it's 11:50, look, you didn't sin. And you're like, man, I only got 10 more minutes. I messed up. The devil be out here working, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. But look, in spite of that mess up, God still loves him and calls him friend. I wish I had some friends of God in here, but let me go back to my sermon because God's not talking to me. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Stop right there. Look at this. Look at how the devil walks with the believer. Do y'all see that in that text? He walked with them, right? But it's not just that he walked with them. It says he walked with them directly to God. Do y'all see that? I mean, like, do you really, really see that? You really saw it. You understand the devil walked with some of y'all up in here. That's what I'm really trying to get you to notice. He's walking with you. That's why he's able to tempt you at every step you take, because he's right there on your left side whispering in your ear. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. In the same way that he walked with the sons of God and none of them noticed, is the same way he's walking with you and you don't notice. Notice in the text, it doesn't say the sons of God knew the devil was walking with them. You got to read the Bible for what it is. If my headache of a kid, Sierra, was here, she would say it is. I said what I said and I meant what I meant. And that's what the Bible does right there. So watch this. It used to be a time when the church would help the preacher and they would help the preacher tarry for the Holy Spirit. I know we all want to be out of here by 12. Me too. But there's something about tarrying in the Spirit. There's something about sitting down and being slain on the altar. There's something about being told to call Jesus mid-prayer. There's something about being, you know, slain out on the floor. There's something about the mothers praying over you and you just get so full, your mouth gets stuck on. It's something about that tarrying that we're missing, church. It's something about coming up from prayer and a minister pushing you back down, saying he's not through with you yet. It's something about that kind of church that we've walked away from. There's power in a tarry. The tarry is mentioned, I want to say, around 50 times in this whole Bible. I don't know about you, but God only got to say something to me once, and it's important. Let God repeat it 50 times, and I don't know. That's like a law to me. You know, I can't help but not tarry. He done said it so many times. But there's power in tarrying. When I come to church, and I know, like I said, we all want to be out of here by 12, but when I walk in the sanctuary, I want to see deliverance taking place as I walk in. I want to see somebody being made new and being made whole in the church. I want to see wheelchairs left at the front of the altar because they no longer need it. Canes being spread out over there. Arthritis in the knees is no more. They walked in limping and they walked out shouting. That's the kind of church that we need to get back to, the church that's tarrying in the Spirit. That's what we need to return to. That's what we need. We need revival in the Spirit. Too many churches don't have this Holy Spirit no more because they're not tarrying on the Spirit. They sing the praise and worship. They do the sermon. They hoop and hop, do announcements, and you're going out the door. No tarrying happened whatsoever. There's not even a testimonial service no more. I haven't been to a revival service in about 10 years. It's getting bad out here. If my other kid John was here, he'd say it's bad in these streets. And it is. Because the devil's working and the church just stopped and went stagnant. And the devil, tell somebody the devil never goes stagnant. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Let me put it in my young people terms. God looked at Satan and said, bro, you weird, bro. Like, what's good with you? Why are you here? That's exactly how he looked at him. Like, yo, like, y'all ain't know homie was walking with y'all? Y'all ain't see this man? Like, he all up in my house now. That's how I feel like God was looking at Satan. You know, I remember, they like this. They always butt, right? Okay. And so Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. What was the devil doing, y'all? What? Looking to seek, kill, and destroy. See, I got some people here in the text with me. That's what I need to hear. He's roaming the earth like a roaring lion seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Let's go on. I'm done with those two verses. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge of protection around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have increased in land. Oh, I'm sorry. You have blessed in the work of his hands, and possessions have increased in the land." Let's break those two down. Look at how God speaks of his children. Do you really, like, see that? I don't know about you, but anytime somebody gives me praise, it kind of makes me, like, a little weirded out. Like, stop doing that. Don't tell me I was good. You're so nice. Just stop. But look at how God speaks about his children. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be real blunt with you. I don't care what anyone, including all of you, have to say about me. Listen, people are going to talk about you even after you die. So you might as well go ahead and get that out your system, right? Don't worry about what they call you. Worry about what God calls you. Let me get some text to you. People called Moses disobedient and disrespectful to God, but God used him to rescue the Israelites. People called Peter fake for denying Jesus. Yet Jesus called him to be one of the best evangelists the world has ever seen. The devil called you to be less than, but God called you to be more than. Y'all not really working. Somebody would have shouted out more than a conqueror, but that's all right. I just want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, but that's how God speaks to his children, right? But now look at how Satan tries to minimize Job's faith by stating that the only reason he trusts you is because you've made him untouchable. If my other kid, Ethan, was here, he loves this rap song called Untouchable. I'm not going to lie. It has a good beat. You know, the lyrics are really dark, but it has a good beat. But essentially, the song is saying, like, you know, y'all telling me he untouchable. I just touched his shoulder. He's not, you know, you can murder him. That's basically what the song was saying. He's not untouchable. But I need y'all to really hear this. God created a hedge of protection around Job in his life. If you're like me, you're asking, why Job? Why did Job get the hedge of protection? But in reality, it's not why Job got a hedge of protection. It's why us. Why did we get a hedge of protection? Because we all have it. See, God created a hedge of protection around all of us. Anyone who has proclaimed and professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is covered by God's grace. They are covered by his mercy. He fights their battles, big or small. They experience his grace when they fall. Their environment is multiplied. Their spiritual gifts are heightened and made divine. Do you get where I'm going with this? Can I leave this alone? All right. I don't want to have John play the organ and I got to start screaming at y'all. I'm trying to keep it short, okay? And no, pastor, you can't have my extra time next Sunday. Let's go to the next two verses, 11 through 12. "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Look at this. The devil says to God, "You know what? I'm going to bring this back down in my Philly street terms, my young boy terms. Yo, bro, I bet you a hundo. You touch all that he has, yo, he going to curse you straight to your face, bro. I promise you. I bet you, bro." And God was like, "Look, I told you I had to bring it down. See, my young folk laugh, man. That's why you got to bring it down sometimes. You got to make sure we can understand it. You understand what I'm saying?" I have to say this fact because it puts a shout in my soul every time I read it. Some of you have overlooked this because you're still sitting there. The devil just asked God for permission to mess with Job. Y'all not really getting this. The devil just asked for permission. Why would the devil need to ask God for permission? What's going on? I'll tell you why in five words. If I get this wrong, y'all can take away one of my degrees. You ready? I wrote it down. I'm cheating. I ain't gonna lie to you. The devil has a boss. That's five. There you go. Don't take my degrees. I got it. Look, I'll make it shout worthy because I know we love to dance. The devil has a boss, and that boss is your God of protection. Oh, y'all ain't even jump up or something. Y'all got me to work. But look, this is not the only text that supports that statement, right? Mark 1:27 says, "He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "See now that I, and there is no God besides me, I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and there is none like that can deliver out of my hand. James 4:13-15 says, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Listen, church, God determines who the devil can and cannot bother. He also determines how much the devil can harm you. It's COVID, so I don't want you to touch nobody. Certainly don't touch me. But look at someone and say, the devil has a boss, and it's the God of my protection. Yes, and some of you may be missing this message, and that's because Satan has blinded you from seeing and hearing the truth. But I believe 2 Corinthians 4:6 that proclaims, let light shine out of the darkness. Glory to God. Let's go into the next one. I told you, I'm almost finished. We on page something. We almost at the end, though. I'm going to read 13-20. 7 verses. Try and stay with me. It's pretty heavy down here. Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabines raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, though, another one came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And how, while he was speaking, look at somebody say, DJ Khaled, another one. He can't catch a break here. Another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Let me tell you something about these verses and these texts. Job was quite literally going through hell. All right, let's just read it for what it was. The Bible said that Job was told by a servant that his oxen, donkeys, and children were all just murdered by the sword. Job didn't lose one thing. All right. He didn't just lose the money. I'll tell you a secret. Colossians 5:15, all right, states, money comes and money goes. Live life to the fullest because none of these earthly possessions are going with you to heaven. Y'all make sure y'all quote me. If y'all need my social media handle to quote me properly, I give it to you. It's no problem. But that's my quote. Don't take it, all right? See, Job had just lost the money. And I think, you know, if he would have just lost the money, I think Job would have been okay. You know, I wouldn't have been okay. You take $28 million from me. You're going to see God a little early because you're going to get that money back. But to lose a child is not simply or easily replaced. You can't replace it, right? A child is a special gift from God. They cause a type of love in your heart that can't be replaced. Job lost all of his children, right? Job was now broke beyond his own understanding. Let me tell you something. I got $20 million. I got a financial advisor. And let that person call me and say, hey, bro, your money gone. You won't have to explain that to me. Ain't no way in the world $28 million died and walked away. And if you did, go find it. If it walked, that means you can catch it. But Job lost everything, right? His family, as he knew it just 5 minutes ago, has ceased to exist. I don't have any kids of my own, glory to God. But I technically do because of my career. My kids, why y'all laughing? That's a real thing right there, y'all. I don't need that right now. My kids are returnable. And God, thank you for doing that. And yes, I invoke my return. I bring my receipt every day at 3:05 p.m. Come get your kids. Get in that pickup line. Pick your kid up so I can go on home. I want them no more. But listen. I love those kids as my own, right? I thank God I never had to receive a phone call from a parent saying, or even a news segment saying, unfortunately, X has passed away. My heart would probably be torn in two, right? My heart would have been in pain. And this isn't even my biological child. This is someone who I just mentor and teach from 8 to 3, right? So imagine, and me personally, I would have looked at God and asked, why must they go so young? They're only, you know, last year I was working with pre-K to 8th grade. They're only about 5 to 14. This year I got high school students. Y'all pray for me because they got one time to say something smart. We only got about 4 years between us. We can definitely guard it, y'all can get up. But, you know, Job isn't like me. Job's a different man. He feared God and all the good stuff. Let's go on to the last two. It says, then Job arose, we'll read 20 again, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to thee. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any wrong. Job heard all this news. Mind you, Job was told everything at once, right? My heart is already hearing that my child has passed away. And I'm going to just be honest with y'all. Lord, don't let somebody come and tell me somebody that hit my car while I was parked and it's total. Lord knows somebody coming to see you today. They told my car? You, my Beamer? They hit my car? It's total? Look, I'm telling you, it's going to be a problem out there, y'all. Y'all can go ahead, but y'all pray for me. Pray for them, really. That's really going to need prayer. But Job was being told all the bad news at once. He didn't even have time to stop and process everything. Every time he took a breath, there was another tribulation. Someone here today feels like everything around them is collapsing. You've just lost your house. You've lost your job. Your children are going rogue. Your father's health is declining. Your car has broken down. And those pesky bills keep getting bigger. Everything around you is no more. The Bible said Job fell to his knees. He didn't fall because he was in shock. No. He didn't fall because he thought God could bring it all back if he asked. No. He did not fall and begin cursing God for the things that started happening. No. The Bible says he fell and worshiped God. See, tell you, church, we are really blessed to have this Bible in its entirety for what it is, especially in our day and time. Job didn't have this. So Job didn't have a scripture that said, and we know all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Job didn't know that. Job didn't have that back then. In fact, Job did not know if this was all a part of God's will, and he did not know if everything collapsed around him would ever be replaced. But what he did know was, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Wait a minute now. Watch this. Notice that Job states, I wish I had a church here because y'all would get happy on this. Job states that the Lord has taken away. Not the devil has taken away my stuff. The Lord has taken away. He recognized that only God has the power to bring in and remove things from this world. Job believed that whether or not God brings in something new or removes something old, his name is to be blessed regardless. See, I've lost my house, but glory be to the Most High. My doctor said the cancer is spreading, but God in heaven is to be exalted forever. My life is collapsing as I know it, but I'll still shout hallelujah anyhow. The lights in my house are off, but I'm still shouting in the dark. The water bill isn't paid and I can't take a shower, but I'm still coming to church to give God praise. Don't do that. Take that shower. I don't have gas in my car to get to work, but God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. My father is mentally collapsing, but I'm still praising God. I only have about $200 on my credit card. I'm not getting paid till August. It's rough. My car is down. And them bills is coming. I'll push them back, though, so we good on that one. God, glory to God. But God is still good with all that going on. There's nothing that anyone can do to me that will ever make me turn around and curse God. Because in spite of it all, God is still good. It used to be an old saying that you stay back in the church, if he doesn't do anything else, He's done enough. I live by that one. He don't got to do anything else for me. He's done enough. My obituary can be nice and full. It better be nice and full. Y'all better include my 3 degrees. Don't leave one of them out. But church, begin to ask God for Job's faith. Read the rest of the book of Job and look at how he remains in God. I don't have time to go through all of this. It's already 10:45 and they already gave me my signal from the Scots. But if you read the rest of the book of Job, his wife tried to get him to curse God. Yeah, I'm not married, and I don't want that for another couple, 5 or 10 years. You know, I'm happy being single and spending my own money. But let my wife come to me and say, man, curse God. Turn your back on him, bro. He ain't doing nothing for us. We still struggling. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all going to get an invitation for a divorce party real fast, because I don't know what she talking about. This is not the person I married, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But Job has more than faith. I told you, it's called divine faith. Job lost everything, but his faith never wavered. He never lost his faith, though. He never lost his praise. He never lost his worship. He never lost his prayer. Some of us get in a bad time, and we don't even pray no more. We don't worship no more. We don't praise no more. We don't come to church. You let one church person say the wrong thing to you, and now you don't go to that church no more. Just like that, you done left God. Because one person says something to you. I said this to my mom one day. I said, you know, the devil, we give the devil a lot of credit. We try to say he does all these things. But sometimes the devil just has to whisper something to make your spirit upset. He don't have to, you know, make a car hit you or make a car hit your car. No, he just got to whisper. You know you ain't supposed to be wearing that. And just that fast, you... First of all, who are you talking to? Because we from the West, so we can step out of this church for real, for real. What you mean I ain't supposed to be wearing this? I'm going to show you what I'm wearing. Let's go. But that's not how it's supposed to be, though. I told you what love was. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not fast to anger. Right, church? They say you're not supposed to be wearing that. You know what I told her? Just tell her to get the Bible. Find a scripture that tells me what I'm supposed to be wearing, and then we can have that conversation. And if they can't find it, don't talk to me no more. Because I'm going by what this says, not about what you says. Listen. Praise God in the good and the bad. I'm finished here. In the highs and the lows. Praise God when a birth happens and when a death happens. Praise God throughout all of it, church. Through everything, give God praise. Through everything, keep the faith. Remember that God will never forsake you. Amen. I'm done.
Amen. Didn't I tell you we don't hear from him very often, but it's always good when he comes before us. Amen. Brother Khalil, I have a topic for your sermon. Bernie Mac used to say, who you with? Job was with the Lord. Amen. Bless his holy name. Hey, we're going to open the doors of the church this morning. If anything touched your heart or your soul in this sermon, and you don't know the Lord, if you'd like to know the Lord as Job knew the Lord, if you'd like to know the God Job served or the Lord we serve, amen, this morning we invite you. The doors of the church are open. And I'm going to ask you, if you're listening on Facebook or YouTube, just pray this simple prayer with me. I like that. Who you with? Amen. Pray this simple prayer with me, and we'll believe that you have been saved. Most holy and wise Father, I come before you confessing my sin. I am a sinner and a wretch undone. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day with all power in his hand. I humbly repent of all my sins, and I ask you to come into my life today, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we believe you have been saved and redeemed by the Most High God. We ask you to contact us either via our phone number, 215-748-4578, or via our email address, info@taylortabernacle.com, and let us know, and we'll be more than happy to contact you, someone from this ministry, and help you with your next step in the journey towards salvation. Amen. 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 We're going to ask our sister, I think I got it right because I don't have my notes ahead of me, but I think it's Logan coming for offering. Am I correct? Our sister Logan is coming for offering. Our sister Jessica Lyons is coming and give us announcements. Amen. We're going to follow those. And following that, Pastor, you have anything today? And the next voice you hear following offering and announcements will be our speaker of the hour, Minister Khalil, to give us our benediction. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes / offering, and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Good morning, everyone. So the July announcements are as follows. The pastor will be teaching Bible study for the month of July. He is asking everyone to purchase the 40-Day Sugar Fast by Wendy Speak. It is up to you if you follow the book, but he will be teaching biblically from such, and you will need the book to follow. It has been about 2 years, and we are updating our membership directory. If you have moved, changed email addresses, home phone numbers, or cell phone numbers, please email the church with your new information to info@taylortabernacle.com. Again, info@taylortabernacle.com. You may also use our offering envelope or call the church line and leave a message. If you are here at the church, please see our sister Barbara Williams following service. We would like to complete this in the next week or two, so please let us know of any changes as soon as possible. Thanks in advance for your help in completing this task. July 17th, come and welcome back Pastor to the pulpit. Let us make our pastor's heart glad. He will love to see every member of the tabernacle in the sanctuary. This will also be the Sunday that we celebrate Holy Communion, and our Celeste Williams Scholarship applications are due. July 24th is our water baptism in Christ of Calvary Church at 11:30 p.m. We will have our regular service at 10 to 11, then we will walk down with the candidates to Christ of Calvary. If you are interested in becoming a candidate for water baptism, please call the church or contact Deacon Todd McCoy immediately so you may receive further instructions and sign up for the 30-minute baptism class. You cannot be baptized without completing the baptism class. July 31st is our Back to School Sunday. Our Wiley Ministry invites you out as we celebrate our 2022 graduates and all of their accomplishments. The Celeste Williams Scholarships will also be awarded. We invite all parents and children out for this special Sunday as we celebrate all of our youth. Thank you.
We want to formally invite all of you to our Day of Joy service that's going to happen on August 7th at 2 p.m. And I expect the house to look this full on that day. The Day of Joy.
Even fuller.
Even fuller. I don't know. It's still COVID. Too many people in here. But please come out and enjoy this service. It's going to be about an hour and a half service with just nothing but praise and worship. And just getting into God's presence and worshiping God and just experiencing Him. So again, we want to invite you, cordially invite you to our Day of Joy. I know it used to be called Joy Night, but we're moving it to the daytime. Day of Joy, August 7th at 2 p.m. right here at the Tabernacle. That's the only announcement. Thank you. I'm back again, y'all. Please rise. We can do the benediction. I'm going to say a really simple, simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the word that was spoke here today, God. God, I ask that this word continually walks with these people and walk with myself, God. Please remind me that when anything goes wrong, that you have ordained it and you have ordained how much of it, God. God, I thank you for letting me know that the devil has a boss, God, and that that boss is my God of protection, God. God, I ask that you continue to walk with me and show me the things that you want me to show and continue to walk with me and guide me in the way that you want me to go, God. Even on those days where I want to deviate, God, please wrap your arms around me and keep me in your grace, God. And the same goes for everyone under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.